This week on the Locked On Buckeyes podcast has turned into Stevens and Friends. We have had guests on all week long, from Mo Murphy to Dan Hope to Corey Thompson on back-to-back days. But you know we can't talk Buckeye football without my guy Jeff Hunt back on the podcast with us, guys. Jeff is back from vacation. I'm honored to have him on the podcast. We're going to talk a little spring game, a little final preparations for that. There was a little FPI ranking that came out from ESPN that I know you guys don't want to talk about because things might be a little bit different than how you think they might be. But sit back, relax, enjoy this final preparation for the spring game with my guy Jeff Hunt right here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to this episode of Locked On Buckeyes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Friday, April 15th in the year 2022, and I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen or first watch of every single day. Stevens and Friends continues on this Friday, a feel-good Friday, not wearing the feel-good Friday hat, still rocking the haircut that I love so much. And my guy Jeff Hunt is here. We have a little stuff we're going to talk about, spring game football, FPI. But before we do any of that, Jeff, welcome back. Man, it's been a long time since you and I have been able to chop it up.
Yeah, it has, man. I try to go into my bunker and digest, you know, the season that just was and prepare for the season coming up. I just took a lovely vacation to Aruba with my wife and some friends. Like I told you before the show, it feels like I just like dropped on the planet Earth this morning and I'm trying to catch up with everything that's going on. I love this week as an Ohio State fan. Spring game week, there's an energy to it, there's a restart to it. It's sort of like, you know, the rest of the world has New Year's Eve, you know, Buckeye Nation has spring game week, and it's time to turn the page and move on and forget any negative thoughts about last year and just talk about winning the national championship next year.
That's it, man. Before we get to any football that's going to happen tomorrow, I'd feel bad, literally bad, if I did not ask you first, how are you doing with the Dwayne Haskins news, and how have you been able to cope with what's happened, what took place about a week ago now?
Yeah, it was tough, man. Like I said, I was on vacation, and it was one of these stories that, you know, nobody expects these things, obviously. It's a tragedy, and it was just like dropped into my lap, you know, out of nowhere. You know, as a thing, like, oh, you're a sports guy. And then this was told to me and I'm like, whoa. So I've got, you know, you got all these thoughts going through your head, but you know, most importantly, what I thought was, you know, Dwayne Haskins was, you know, younger than my son, you know, barely, you know, I've got a 25-year-old son. He got married last summer. You know, they've got a baby on the way now. And my thing was, and, you know, and I tweeted this out, not to promote my tweet, but I'm just saying, you know, my thought on it was, What I regretted was that it's a young person that didn't get to live their life. You know, I'm an older guy. I'm 46 years old now, and I understand, you know, the bulk of your life and so many things that you develop and the stories and everything that happen, you know, from the years of say 20 to 25 until you're like 50. That is when you really, you know, you create these things and you build these things. And most people, you know, they start families and so many things happens with, you know, career wise and all these things. And I just always mourn that any young person it's not whether somebody lives the perfect life or how things wind up. It's the chance to like make the mistakes or have the great things or have the moments and have to live and learn. And I always mourn that a young person didn't have that opportunity to live that part of their life out. That was really my overwhelming thing. As far as on the field, you know, nobody can take away the energy, you know, the smile. The Haskins season was really special because we were coming off a time to where, you know, JT Barrett had, it just felt like he, the grit and the drive and the fight, you know, for everything that the Buckeyes did. And he took us to levels that we didn't think we could reach and all of these things. And he was such a warrior. And then we're like, what do we do now? Because at that point in the offense, and the Ohio State's history and the way, you know, the what they called the Urban Meyer offense and all these things. It was like, what is going to happen this year? You know, this kid. And then Haskins just blows the doors off the place. And I think as far as simply as far as Buckeye football goes, Haskins will be what will have started this era of Buckeyes football. We don't know when it's going to end. We don't know how long this high-flying attack, these offensive numbers, you know, are going to end. But, you know, that's what Ohio State is known as for their offense, which still just kind of, you know, I can't wrap my head around. So, like, I think that, like, that's going to be it. I mean, the season that he had, like, as we're watching it, you know, it's like, what is happening here? We've, like, to throw 50, you know, the touchdowns and the way they did, you know, two Michigan victories, because I give him, you know, at least half of the Michigan victory in 17 because to step onto the field and make one of the greatest passes in Ohio State history.
Yeah.
And you know, as a kid, you know, all warm thoughts. You know, he has the historic, you know, Purdue loss on his record. But what was so impressive about that was they rebounded instantly and won out the rest of the season in great fashion, won a Rose Bowl. You know, well, so on the football field stuff, this is something I remember. I remember watching the Rose Bowl and everybody coming in, and it was Washington, this zone defense. You know, they were going to get them. They were going to get the Buckeyes. Could they figure it out? And you could see Haskins figure it out. And I feel like it was about the second quarter. It might have been the third. And then once he figured it out, it was over. Like, he could have – there was some mistakes and stuff. But I just remember watching him throw that game being like, oh, okay, he's figured it out now. He hasn't played a zone. I don't know if it was all season, but it had been a while. And he just starts dropping those magical passes in there. And I was like, you know, just memories like that kind of flooded me. All good. But, yeah, it's a tragedy, and it was tough. You know, obviously I feel for his family and friends and anybody that knows him. But he definitely, you know, these kids have a connection to Buckeye Nation. We ask them to come here. You know, everybody sends out the tweets like, I promise you, come here. We love you and all this. We'll cheer for you. And he is one of the more beloved Ohio State players of all time because of this magical season he had, you know, the Michigan play the year before, like we talked about, just the exuberance he played with. He was easy to latch onto. Just a great looking kid, great smile and all these things. So he is fondly remembered in Buckeye Nation. And, you know, I don't know what that any condolences I can, you know, bring to his family or whatever, but that's just that was my overall take on it.
Jeff, really quickly, so we're staying on track with time. What is one thing 20 years from now, when you think of Dwayne Haskins, that'll come to your mind if you're in a conversation at the barbershop with your kids, grandkids, kind of a thought, one thought quickly that you would kind of use to describe Dwayne Haskins?
I would say he one of the best arms I ever saw, and it was he played the game. He made it look as fun as we enjoyed watching it. Like, it didn't look like work. It really looked like, you know, he was having fun out there, and we had fun watching him. And then, of course, it'll always be the play, you know, when Barrett limps out and he comes in and, you know, and makes that throw. It'll, you know, there he had about whatever. I'm sure you guys have talked about this week, but, you know, he threw for about 50 yards that game, but it was some of the most, you know, one of the most important 50 yards in Ohio State history. Like, yeah, that'll be it. It'll be all good.
This is a time of year that I've pretty much given up on all my New Year's resolutions, but not this year. I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right, thanks to Built Bar. It almost feels like it's not really a resolution because I actually enjoy eating them. Have you tried the Puffs? If you haven't, you're missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars. Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, they're not just a protein bar, they're a treat. And they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Low calorie, high protein, replace your candy bars with these. They are better. A typical candy bar can be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Go to Built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your order. Once again, go to Built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15. 15 to get 15% off at built.com. That's amazing. You know what? You use the word fun, and I like to use little segue words and find ways to tie in previous thought into the next one. You make it so easy for me sometimes. Fun, Jeff. You and I are planning on having fun tomorrow. And it recorded this on Thursday. You're hearing it on Friday. Tomorrow's a spring game. Tomorrow's also going to be the first time Jeff Hunt and I have met each other in person. Now, we've done Zooms. We've done restreams, stream yards through the computer. That's it. But Jeff and I get to meet tomorrow. I get to go to the shoe. Jeff gets to go to the shoe. Our friends, Buckeye fans, will be there together. Ooh. It's going to be a glorious thing.
It's going to be a big one.
Dude, Dan Hope, so he reminded me of something on Tuesday's show that I hadn't really clicked in my head. This is the first time in 3 years we get a regular spring game.
Yep.
Because 2020, no spring game. 2021, limited access, limited fans. 2019 was the first time, last time we had a regular spring game. And we get that this weekend. And you get to couple that with Jeff Hunt and Jay meeting for the very first time as they get to watch C.J. Stroud, Kyle McCord, Devin Brown, the true freshman, Trevion Henderson, Mayan Williams, Evan Pryor. Get to go to guys on defense, Dill Chambers. I know many of you are looking for C.J. Hicks. I'm looking for Caden Curry. This is amazing, man. Buckeye football, a little meeting of two guys that have been doing stuff for 2+ years together. I'm excited, man. I can tell you are as well. There's no better way to start to get back to the States after a trip away. It's Buckeye football and meeting a guy you've talked to for a couple years just through the computer screen.
And honestly, I can't wait. You know, once, you know, as soon as, you know, I remember asking if you're going to spring game, said, yeah, like it is. And these spring games aren't all the same. And, you know, we've had some that have rained over the years, so they mm-hmm. kind of dulled. But when you have the culmination of we have a great team coming back and you have it's going to be pretty decent weather. And the buzz is building for next season coming off that, you know, this. And we talked about this, Jay, when we did the Rose Bowl post game. This is what we talked about. This is the energy that it built. Like when everybody said the game didn't mean anything, we understand what we were talking about, but we also talked about this momentum that it is shoved. Mm-hmm. And these games are so huge. They're huge as far as like there's a ton of people who can I don't know how to like we'll spend the money to go to the game. It's affordable to go. There's no negativity because, you know, you're rooting for both sides of it. You really get to evaluate some talent, and this is a special game because you got the new defense coming in. It is going to be off the charts, and you know I don't know how we're going to figure it out, man. I don't know if we're going to be tailgating at Ackerman. I don't know if we're going to be hanging out at the high rise or whatever. It's going to be a special day. This is I like this, and the on the field stuff. I can't wait. Like I cannot wait to see the first defensive set. I can't wait to see the first second down set. I just cannot wait to see what this defense is doing. You know, I'm not saying that we don't have to worry about the offense next year, but let's be honest. Like we know what it's going to look like. Yeah, these games, you never really have to focus on the running back or anything because it's never going to be a running attack. So I want to watch the defensive sets. I want to watch how the secondary lines up. I want to watch how the linebackers line up and all these things. And you know, most importantly, like, you know, I want to hook up with guys like Jay. Who knows who else will be there? Maybe, you know, in the podcast world will show up. But it's going to be a good time, man. I'm really looking forward to kicking off my spring, my summer with this and all the positive energy going in the next year.
I was talking to one of my friends about some things I'm doing over the next few weeks in my spring. It may have been you. My spring's going to be a little bit busy. I have Ohio State spring game this weekend. I'm getting an early look at Notre Dame the following weekend, nice. Meeting you this week. Next week, meeting Ryan Roberts from Rise and Draft Scouting. Yeah. So that'll be fun. But aside from all that, I have other things in the summer and the spring I'm planning on doing. Just trying to have some fun. Nice weather outside. But tomorrow, with the nice weather I hope we have and the new format or different format that we're going to see this year. Bill Landis from The Athletic. It's a tweet that I saw. Ryan Day spoke to the media on Thursday. And Bill Landis says this, quote, Ohio State spring game format will be offense versus defense. Rather than splitting up teams into scarlet and gray, Ryan Day said the majority of the game will feature live tackling, end quote. I don't know about y'all, but when I watch football, I don't care about this nonsense of watching in the Pro Bowl. I don't care about this nonsense of talking about football potentially being two-hand touch. Okay, great. I'm still of the mindset on Sunday night, Jeff, before Sunday night. No, excuse me, Monday night before Monday night football, I want to watch Jacked Up. I live for those big hits. And I understand the safety about it and why the hits of Ray Lewis and Brian Dawkins and Lawrence Taylor and all these old school guys. Like, I get why those things are outlawed in the NFL. I completely get it. But watching going to a football game and not having tackling, just a thud session, there's going to be a thud session here. I do believe Josh Proctor will participate in that, still rehabbing from his injury last year. But if you're going to tell me that not only do Jeff and I get to meet for the same meet over this weekend, we get to watch Buckeye football, we get to watch a spring game, get to watch youngsters and guys that have been there for quite a long time, and there's live tackling, I don't know about y'all, but this is the kind of stuff I want to see, because I do believe the tackling, the absolute poor, atrocious tackling we have seen over the past couple of years, I think Jim Knowles is going to get that out the way and say, hey, y'all, look, we're going to tackle, we're going to hit, we're going to play hard nose football, because if you don't, you're not going to be on the field. The live tackling in the spring game, not normal, but I think Ryan Day and Jim Knowles, I think this is Jim Knowles' footprint and fingerprint on this team. I think he's saying, look, we're not giving these fans just some vanilla, weird, abnormal brand of football. Yeah. We're going to show them how far we have come in a short amount of time and what they can expect to see in the fall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It reminds me a lot, like Tressel, he ran his spring games like this. Like, the first half of a Tressel spring game was football, and it was fantastic. You got some of the best. And then you've got these guys that have been at each other in practice, especially like what I'm really focused on is the defensive backs versus the wide receiver. Like, these guys, you know, they've been at each other every day. Well, Jay, you know, the offensive line versus defensive line, like, I'm tired of seeing this guy's face. Like, I get the chance. Like, I'm going to put him in the turf. All these things, they get to come out in these spring games. And it's essentially, especially in Ohio State spring game, is I bet an Ohio State spring game is probably viewed in as much as a lot of regular season college football games. Like, it's a big deal. So these kids know that they are on screen. You know, you're going to, like, you'll see in the stadium, like, it's handled, you know, like a game, you know what I mean? It's handled very seriously. And the competitiveness is there. Knowles needs to find out who wants to be there, who doesn't want to be there. You know, it's on the offense, I'm sure you got wide receivers fighting for spots. You know, obviously you're not going to have Stroud out here running an option or anything like that, but that's understandable.
Yeah.
These things, I mean, they'll let him take a couple blows and, you know, that thing, but That's just common sense. You know, the running backs, again, don't take a lot of abuse in these games. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's that competition at the snap of the ball and then in the defensive backfield that I'm really concentrated on. It'll be fun. You know, I was there when we broke the record. It was over 100,000 at a spring game. It was stupid. It was really a lot of – it was dumb. But, you know, my favorite of all time that I attended was, I guess it would have been the 06 spring game. Okay. So that, you know, that was the Troy Smith, the Ted Ginn season. That spring game was like, I remember watching that spring game and being like, okay, this is the best team I've ever seen. And I wasn't wrong. Like, to that point, that was the best high state team that had ever been on a field. So, and this has one of those special feels. And as to where last year, you remember, it was a quarterback competition. That was all the spring game was about last year. And I think we talked about it over the summer. That was a mistake. Cause I think that they overlooked a lot of things that bit us in the behind. So this year is the defensive spring game. And, you know, you're obviously watching the backup quarterbacks. So it's just going to be so exciting. And it's just fun to be there and in the environment and around the people and the energy. And it's a good time. It's really a good time.
BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championships, odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Head to the website today, that's BetOnline.net, or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline. Where the game starts. It is. And guys, we're here with Jeff Hunt, the host of the Jeff Needs Sports, Jeff Needs Help podcast. And those are different podcasts, not the same one, different podcasts. He's a well-versed man. He's a intelligent individual. And Jeff, we're talking about the offense versus defense, kind of a live session we're going to get a little bit over the weekend. There's one thing I'm looking for when it comes to the one-on-one matchup. Now, this may be a little bit of me being a little nerd, or Jeff knows I used to play offensive line, so that's kind of where my heart is. I want to watch JT Tuimoloa versus DeJuan Jones. I've seen a rep or two of them in practice. I think JTT is bound to have a year that will push Zach Harrison in a way that if Zach Harrison does not step up, JTT and Jack Sawyer could be the two starting defensive ends. Versatility from JTT and Jack Sawyer can both play hands on the ground or two-point stand standing up. The Jack defensive end, I've heard now is a thing. Lately is a thing. I think both of those guys, Jack Sawyer and JTT, they can stand up or put their hand down, like I mentioned. I don't think you really want Zach Harrison standing up. We've kind of seen how that works out. I don't really think that's a thing that's suited for him right now. Now, granted, we've seen a lot. There's a lot of time between now and the start of the season. Things can change. But I'm looking for JTT and DeJuan Jones. DeJuan Jones wants to be a first-round NFL draft pick next year at offensive tackle. He has a long way to get there. But a great way to boost confidence in himself is to dominate a youngster in this game. Is there a one-on-one matchup? Now, I know it's a little bit different because he may get Denzel Burke against like a Jackson Smith and Jigba, but that means more so Denzel Burke going down to the slot, not outside. Is there a matchup, say, running back versus linebacker or O-line versus D-line or maybe one-on-one that you're looking forward to watching tomorrow?
That's a good question. You know, you brought up Burke. I was thinking about that. And I guess it's and this is a tough one because this is something we're looking for. So this is kind of a cop-out, but I want to see, you know, the safeties, you know, versus the quarterback situation.
I like that.
You know, because in this defense, you know, with the way they run the defensive backs, you know, the safeties have a lot of responsibility. So I want to see, I just kind of want to look out there and see which safety, you know, is pointing, which safety is maybe nudging the guy 2 yards up or 2 yards to the right, you know, who's watching the, you know, as the mic moves. And then I want to watch him, you know, versus the quarterback and the quarterback trying to manipulate the safety. You know, that's my thing. I mean, I know it's kind of a cop out. Then I also want to see like, essentially, are we going to have a linebacker that is out there as a true like signal caller? You know, we see some of these guys, you know, a great example that this year's class coming out in the draft, you got Dean, you know, coming out in the draft. This is a guy that ran a championship defense and things like that. Is like, is that guy on the field? You know, do I feel like there's a guy on the field that I'm like, okay, that's a guy. Like, has Chambers taken the next step? Has Simon, you know, maybe it's a Cody Simon. Like, is he taking another step, you know, or is it going to be a safety? Like, what does Proctor look like? I don't know how healthy he is. If Proctor was 100% healthy, I would really, really, really be focused on him. You know, is some of these guys that come in the transfer? You know, so I'm really looking up the middle of the defense and how they interact with the quarterback, or are they just going to get gouged over the middle by this great passing game of the Ohio State Buckeyes?
ESPN did this on purpose, I do believe. They know that this week Ohio State and Alabama have their spring games on the same day. Some of you guys might not like what I'm going to say, but I'm pretty sure Joey Galloway and Kirk Herbstreit will be on the field in Tuscaloosa behind the Alabama offense. Down there for ESPN broadcasting that game are every year. I believe Ohio State spring game will be on the Big Ten Network.
It is.
So I understand the little hesitancy that you guys made. They're traders. No, they're just working for the company. Like, I'm not going to go traders that far. But ESPN knows if you release the FPI the week that Ohio State and Alabama are back on the field, that's a good way to get traction, clicks on the Bird app, on the Twitter, and things like that. So ESPN Football Power Index was released. Preseason top 10 in April seems a little weird. It's coming out in April, but they want talking points. They want clicks.
I was going to say, you nailed it, Jay. It's not weird. This is the perfect time, and I'm for it. I am all for it. I'm so excited about it.
And so the top 10 came out. I'm going to go 10 through 1, and then I'm going to give the guest, Jeff Hunt, the first go around at his first thoughts when he hears what these rankings are. 10 through 1, ESPN Football Power Index top 10 goes like this. Number 10, Auburn. Number 9, Pittsburgh. Interesting. Number 8, Oklahoma, just with a new coach. Number 7, Michigan. Number 6, Texas. Quinn Ewers, I hope you're ready for the big show. Number 5, Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman, welcome to the big leagues. Number 4, Clemson. Number 3, Georgia. Number 2, Ohio State. Number 1, Alabama. Jeff Hunt, the floor is yours.
I like it. And I'll tell you why I like this index, because, you know, Jay, you bring it up a lot. You know, don't tell me just what the number is or whatever. Give me some kind of reasoning. So if you go to ESPN's page, it's right there. You look at the spreadsheet. They give you all the percentages, all the data on how this has worked out. What's interesting about this, I wasn't surprised at all to see, you know, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson. You know, it makes sense. And then when I really dug into it, here's something else. Number one to make the playoffs is actually Ohio State. Two is Bama, three is Georgia, and four is Clemson. If you go just to make the playoffs, to make the championship game, they've got Bama and OSU, you know, Georgia and Clemson the same. And it's so there's some other ones there. To win out, Ohio State has the highest percentage to win out, like by far. They've got Ohio State at 32% and a half to win out. The next best is Georgia at 20. To win out the season. So, you know, that's kind of odd. You know, they've got Notre Dame at, they've only got Notre Dame at 1.1% to win out of, you know, the entire season. So they really are, you know, hard on Notre Dame's schedule. So as long as they give me the data that they use, I'm good with it. I feel pretty good about the top 10. You know, like everybody is immediately like I understand this is an Ohio State podcast, a great Ohio State podcast. And so most people are going to be anti-Michigan. That's just how it is. Here's why Michigan is as high as they are. Their schedule lends to it. They've got to – Michigan basically has to beat Ohio State next year, and they have a great chance to get back to the playoffs. It's just – sometimes it just works out that way. They have a very favorable schedule, you know, until that game, you know, in Columbus. So that's why they're as high as they are. You know, it's just those things. But I have no problem with them factoring that in. That's real life. You know, sometimes the team has a schedule, you know, better than others. So overall, I actually like the FPI. I like the information they give us. And Jay, that was the first time that, you know, anybody had brought up like why it came out this week. And it makes so much more sense now because you got the spring games. And then that spills in to the NFL draft. You know, it just keeps the momentum going. But I actually like this list, and it's very favorable to the Buckeyes. Like if you look across the board, they essentially are saying the Buckeyes are the second, maybe it might be 1A and 1B right now. They have Alabama and Ohio State. Like if you look at the numbers,
I mean, think about the coaches in the top five alone. You have Nick Saban, Ryan Day, Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, then a newcomer. So like, it's a luxury for Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame to literally be in this list because he is a new kid on the block. Like there is a legitimate argument. To put Michigan number five over Notre Dame. I mean, there's a legitimate argument for that. Oklahoma new coach. And so I think it's Brent Venables, which he's not a new Oklahoma coach. He's going back to Oklahoma. I believe he was there under I almost said Mark Stoops, under Bob Stoops, when Bob Stoops ran things there in Norman. But I don't really have much thought about – like I have thoughts about them, but I don't put too much stock in these preseason rankings.
Here's what's funny about it too is they've only got Oklahoma at 9 wins. So after the top 4, everybody drops down to less than double digits. So they're really leaning hard. The Clemson one is hard to figure out. You know, after what they did last year, the questions at quarterback, which we didn't think is a little perplexing. But you know, it's all data. And I can't argue with it because it's kind of how I do my rankings every year as far as like projecting your percentage chances. It's fun. Let's put it that way. It's fun.
Jeff, I wondered, I'm going to close the show with this little Clemson talk. You guys might not like it, but I think you guys will, because it's going to kind of help us understand properly how we analyze quarterbacks. We've seen how people have talked bad about Dwayne Haskins immediately when he died. And I'm like, there's a time and place for everything. This is not the time nor the place. But have we done DJ Uiagalelei a disservice? And I say that because the way that media is now, and Jeff, you know, you and I are not shying away from being very critical about people at big-time schools that are supposed to have big-time expectations. We don't shy away from calling things how we see them. But with DJ Uiagalelei, he's not only coming in after Trevor Lawrence, it's Deshaun Watson. There was the Kelly Bryant year. There was Deshaun Watson. There was it Taj Boyd, I believe, in 2013.
Taj Boyd, shout out to Taj Boyd.
So, like, you have this string of 10 years of quarterback play that's been good, that's been above average, that's been amazing. You have a kid coming in now who's not only trying to live up from his own hype, he's trying to live up to all the things people are saying about all these guys going back 10 years. He's 19, 20 years old. The media, and I don't think I've been, I don't think you or I have done this too much because he's a freshman. So, like, I try my best to be, like, very realistic with him. But they have ripped him. And I say they, meaning a lot of the media, have ripped DJ Uiagalelei. Got to say it slowly. So many syllables. Because he did not come in and wow them the way that they thought he was going to. The way they thought he should. Oh, he's a five-star quarterback. Oh, he should do this. He should do that. Guys, he's 18, 19 years old. Game number one, he's playing the national champion. And you guys are saying because he didn't do much in week number one, he's not going to pan out. I wonder how much their criticism, ultra-criticism, really hurt his mentals and hurt his psyche because he did not really play like he thought. I honestly wonder if that was something that hurt Trevor Lawrence. Great talent. I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence was bad, but we saw some play from Trevor Lawrence down the stretch of his career, and it's like, is the way the media critiques people really affecting the mentals of these young men? Jeff, I don't know where you stand with this, but I'm curious, and I think I might need to alter some things that I do. I'm not perfect. I'm human. I make mistakes. Mm-hmm. People on the podcast call me out for this all the time. But I wonder if we need to kind of evaluate and realize, one, they're 18, 19. Two, they're human. Three, they might be starting at college for the very first time. We might need to reevaluate some things you say about these young men because of the factors I just listed.
No, I couldn't agree more, man. You really nailed it. And I said this out. I tweeted out today. I was like, you know, I'm never hard. I'm never harsh on people. And, you know, you're never really harsh on people. And I said that, you know, what got me thinking about it was another comparison. I think, you know, Uiagalelei is a great one. And Zion Williamson right now, everybody's starting the, this kid doesn't care and all this. And I said, Zion had me thinking, you know, this week about Haskins, because I like the, you know, when a tragedy like Haskins, I think if I can take something out of it and make anything better, that's all I can do to honor, you know, his life. And I'm like, you know, really rethink how I, not just how I evaluate, but how I speak about, especially young athletes, you know, going forward in the future. And your example is great. But today, like, on my mind was Zion Williamson, as far as, like, you know, the world is just tough, you know, and these guys aren't allowed to come out and tell us, like, maybe they're just having a tough day, or maybe they're just kids. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, I, like, again, I know I always bring up my kid, but I just have the perspective that I know what a young person is trying to go through to live in this it's, you know, in the real world, like, you know, this guy's going to work every day and putting in 10 to 12, like, really tough hours, you know, of construction work and all this. And he also, but he also at night might just want to sit for an hour and just play Madden. You know what I mean? Like, you know, in, we have to accept that it's not about the money you make. It's not about what you've achieved, any of this. Like, there's still just young people that every now and then need to step back and, like, this might not be as serious as you think it is. And we put this mountains of pressure on them, and we're ready to say they're, you know, Haskins or Williamson or Uiagalelei, like, Oh, you're not the best quarterback I ever saw, so you're a failure. But that comes from 99.9999% of the world that never even got close to the level, you know, of what these guys play. We have no idea what it's like, you know, to be in their shoes and to be that talented, but also just to, at it, you know, for lack of a better term, just be a kid sometimes. So I, you know, and going forward, that's something I want to take away from this is, it, you know, you really have to have the perspective of it. They're playing a game. They're probably trying as hard as they can. It's a lot for them, you know, and especially in the social media age, you know, maybe we do need to just be more open about, hey, it's all right. Like, if I could tell any, you know, any of these young athletes, like Williamson right now, if I could give him one thing, I'd be like, dude, it's fine. Just calm down. You know what I mean? If you need, you know what I mean? Like, if you just need to sit and just take a, just relax and you know, if you just need a hug, man, I'm there. Like, that's what I would say right now, as an older person watching this. You know, that's why when they win and lose these games, you know, you'll never hear me get on them as far as like as a person, because it really is. This week, if anything, reminds us that it really is just a game.
That's it, man. It's just a game. What's not just a game is how much fun we're going to have tomorrow. It's good. No, literally, it's not just a game. This is real life stuff we're talking about. We're going to be in the shoe. Yeah. I hope you're in the shoe. You guys can follow me on Twitter at jsteven07. Follow Jeff on Twitter at jhunt006. If you want to message me and let me know you're there and you want to meet up, I don't care. I welcome it. Email me jsteven317@gmo.com. If you have any questions about anything Jeff Rice said, feel free to reach out to me. I know, tweet at Jeff. He might tweet back at you. Tweet at me. I don't care. We'll have a healthy back and forth. If you guys want to drop some comments in the YouTube comment section, great. I might actually have Jeff come back on here at some point to just filter some of your questions, because you guys know I don't shy away from the YouTube comments. You guys have questions, Jay tries to provide an answer for those. But a little different closing out of the show this week. Jeff Hunt's here. Jeff, we're out for the day. I'm excited for tomorrow. I know you're excited for tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's gonna be so much fun. I can't stop talking about it. Us as a whole, people listening and watching, we have not been able to watch football, live football, in quite a long time. The Super Bowl was at the beginning of February. Most of us don't have the means to get there. But, man, I'm excited. I hope you're excited. Guys, we're done out of here on this Feel Good Friday. Football's back tomorrow. I can't wait. We'll recap it on Monday, Tuesday. Might have Jeff come back on. I haven't talked about this yet, but might try to find time for Jeff to come back on to recap the game and have a good time. Guys, have fun. Enjoy the weekend, and go Bucks.